See you guys all out today. We will be starting at Romans 13. Title message I call A Good Citizen. So let me just prepare you. Do what I can so that you guys can see a little bit here. Hopefully you can still see over here. All right. Are we all fed up with politics? Everybody here fed up with politics? Awesome, awesome. Me too. So today is about politics. And this is my hope. This is my hope to explain this today, to get us where we need to think, and then move on, okay? Go back to what we really need to be thinking about in the days ahead. So give me today, and I'll do my absolute best to get the essentials today of politics. A lot happened last week. Maybe a lot's going to happen this week. We don't know. It's a mess. It's a mess. Are we all agreed? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's do this. Let's agree that at the top of the scale of authority for the Christian, and for anybody, they just don't know it, but for the Christian is God. And for us, it's seen, he is seen in his word. That is the ultimate authority of all things. Do I hear an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Okay. Secondly, and I'm going to show you this in just a minute. Secondly, under that, for us in the United States, are governmental authorities. Governmental authorities. Okay? It's the word is authority. And let me read. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject or submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. We have that. And those that exist, the governing authorities that exist, have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. There is no authority except from God. And, I risk you hating me. There is no governing authority put in place except God has appointed. God has appointed. So let me be clear. God appointed President Bush in his authority. God appointed President Obama in his authority. God appointed President Trump in his authority. And God looks like will appoint President Biden in his authority this Wednesday. Pretty plain. Agreed? You with me?
Amen.
Okay. Okay. So this is what we have, and as the United States, as a democracy, we have this pretty cool thing. So God has appointed the authorities, the governing authorities. And in our nation, what is very cool is the very first body of governing authorities in our country, the very first government, set up what's called a constitution. That's a government agreement, contract with the people it governs. This was set up by the very first authorities of our nation and still holds true today. The first authorities. And I would, as drawing to my example of that last month, the Supreme Court voted that the California governing authorities were illegally, they were breaking the Constitution by telling churches they cannot meet. That is unconstitutional. The churches can assemble Amendment Number 1 of the Constitution. And so the churches were given the freedom back. It was taken unconstitutionally. The First Amendment says the American people are free to assemble peacefully and to speak openly and freely. So this was the very first governing authorities that still holds last month was referred to as that. And underneath that constitution then for us, you have a president. And as a kind of a checks and balancing system, you have the House of Representatives. You have the Senate. The Congress, what's called a Congress. And under that you have governors, mayors, etc. And all kinds of things in between. Correct? You see that? Am I okay so far? Okay. Our scripture says there is no governing authority put in place except that God's appointed. That's a huge, huge statement. In the Bible, he was writing to the churches at Rome, and their governing authorities were Nero, Herod, etc., etc. It was not pretty. And he said, submit, don't resist. That's the word he used. Don't resist their authority. Don't resist. They have authority, and it's been put there by God to serve God. Key, that's key. Put there by God to serve God, to carry out God's wrath on wrongdoers, people that do wrong. It's also there to help us, to minister to us. We pay taxes to them so they have money to live and to operate. But they are ministers, they are servants, they are here for our good. They are to minister to us, the people. They are there for our good. Okay? They are there for our good, and it all goes back to God. It all goes back to God. It's God's wrath, it's God's good. They are ministers put there. He is the ultimate authority. There is no authority except for God. He instituted the first government and set up the Constitution, and now he puts in place governing bodies over us. Very interesting is that our government is set up after the Roman government. They were kind of a model of our government. They had a Senate and various branches as well. Don't know that you'd actually call that a democracy. Maybe you would, but our government is set up after the Roman government in a respect. So that's what we have. That's what we have in place now. And the call is don't resist the government. Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. They're not a terror to good conduct. You should have questions there that we need to answer, we need to talk about this morning. But they are not to be a terror to good conduct. And the good conduct is the good conduct of God, because He's the ultimate authority. He decides what's good and what's not good. In Proverbs chapter 17, I'm really messing Mark up right now. I've jumped clear down to the bottom of the list. In Proverbs 17:26, it says in there, it is not good to fine a righteous person. So even though the authorities may fine a righteous person, God's word said that's not good. When a governing authority closes the churches in California, the other authorities step in and say, no, that's not good. That's not right. You can't do that. So there are things. They are not perfect. Government is not perfect. But still we are told not to resist them, not to resist their authority. In this passage of Scripture, I want us to see this phrase, and I want you to just think about it with me a little bit. In verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. So rather than just emphasizing don't break the law, and keeping the law, obeying the law is right and is good. We need to obey the law. And in our country, what happens to get a law? Laws are legislated. Laws are put in place by these people right here. And first and primarily, these folk right here, and then the president signs and agrees on it. So these groups, this right here, House and Senate, Congress, they legislate, they talk through, they refine it, they tweak it. They have a final document that goes to the president. He signs off on it. It's called legislating a law. That's how laws come into being. A true law in our country is legislated. That's rather than this saying, don't break the law, what Paul is saying to these people, and I would say to us, is do good. Do good things. Do good conduct. Don't resist their authority. Be a good citizen. Do good things for your community, for the people, in the name of God. All right? Part of that, a piece of that, is don't break the law. If you break the law, you're going to be in trouble. Correct? If you break the legislated law, you're going to be in trouble. But do good. Be a good citizen. So, whatever side of the aisle you fall on, red or blue, no, God has instituted them. God has appointed them for His purpose. I don't want to question God. Whether it's President Trump or President Biden, I'm not going to resist their authority. Not only am I just not wanting to break legislated laws, I want to do good things for people. In the name of Christ, in the name of God, I don't want to incur God's wrath, and I want my conscience clean. So I want to do good things. I want to contribute to society, to the country. So let's clear the room of this elephant. What happened last Wednesday at the White House, breaking in, destroying, was wrong. They were resisting authority. They were resisting in the wrong way. Let's put it that way. The authorities that were there. That was wrong. If you're ever destroying property, hurting people, trespassing, you are wrong. That's wrong. There are other ways in this country to make change. You want to stand outside in the yard with your sign? You want to peacefully protest? We have that right. Constitutionally, given to us here, from here, we have the right to stand out on the courtyard lawn with our sign and peacefully protest or demonstrate or whatever you want to call it. We have that right, given by God. But never, never, never to destroy property or people or businesses or lives. Never. To break in, never. Don't break the law. Do good things. Do good things for your country. Okay? Are you with me so far? I don't think I've gotten you too far off track here. They're a servant of God to carry out God's wrath on wrongdoers. Now, the big question then is, why would God's wrath be incurred? Why would God incur His wrath? And would He incur His wrath on good behavior, biblical behavior? Well, no, He would not. He would not incur. The Bible is our guide. God, it's His Word, is our guide. And it tells us very clearly He blesses good conduct according to His Word. We don't incur wrath. I'm going to give you three things. Mark, I'm clear down at the bottom again. I'm going to give you three things that are God's spoken, chosen will for the church. Three basic things that will never, never incur His wrath, and you are never wrong to do. Okay? Number one is pray. Number two is to speak or teach God's Word. And number three is to assemble. We are told throughout Scriptures that is what we are supposed to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Matter of fact, we are supposed to pray for our leaders, for our governing authorities and leaders. We're to pray for them. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. This is good. That's what he said in Romans. Good. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is only one God, there is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. God wants all people saved, every one of them. There is only one God and one mediator. It is Jesus. That is our path, and we are to pray for these people. President Trump, President Biden, Vice President Pence, Vice President Harris, you name it, we are to pray. God wants them saved. Okay? So, pray. Speak and teach and assemble. I'm going to double back and just probably be all over the place. Acts chapter 4, Mark. Acts chapter 4, the one I gave you, the Acts 4 one. Which one did I give you? 15. Acts 15, 4, 15. So they've arrested Peter and John. They healed a man in the name of Jesus. They've arrested them, and now they've brought them out of jail, and they've set them before the authorities. Beginning of verse 15, Acts chapter 4. When they had commanded them to leave the council, They, the council, conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them." That's evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. "But in order that we may, that it may spread no further among the people, let's warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot speak but what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. The next one, Mark, verse 23, whatever it is there I gave for you. Acts chapter 4, slide down to verse 23. "And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain conspiracy? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel." They were all of these governing authorities were set against Jesus to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to do. All of these rulers and governing authorities were set against Jesus, hung him on the cross to do God's plan. God's plan was that Jesus die on a cross. And whereas they hated it and they raged, God was in control. It was his plan. Verse 29, Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They disobeyed their governing authorities and prayed for boldness to continue to speak, and they received it, because these things are never wrong to do, ever. A few examples. Let me just hit some examples. Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. This is the birth of Moses. "Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra, the other Puah, 'When you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and you see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live.'" That's the king's law. It's the king's commandment. If they give birth to a male child, kill him. But they didn't. But they wouldn't. And so it says in verse 22, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people," everybody, "if you see a Hebrew having a baby, every son that is born to the Hebrews, throw it into the Nile, but you shall let a daughter live." So the citizenry, you got to help us. If you see the Hebrews having a male child, throw him in the river to the crocodiles. But they didn't. They put Moses in a basket, and Pharaoh's own daughter raised him, and his mom got to wean him, nurse him. So they disobeyed, and we got Moses. out of that deal. Turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Begin at verse 6. So what's happening here is Daniel is rising through the ranks of the government, of the foreign government over them. Darius the Mede is the king, King Darius. And so some of his government officials are seeing Daniel rise through the ranks, and they don't like this Hebrew kid rising through the ranks. So they're planning. It's a conspiracy. They're planning and plotting. How can we get this kid in trouble, get him removed? And they figure it out. The only way, this kid's spotless, the only way we can get him in trouble is that it has to do with his God. Verse 6. Then these high officials, the authorities, the satraps, came by agreement to the king, and they said, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance, a mandate, and enforce an injunction that whoever makes a petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. 30 days, no one can pray to any god, any person, anything, except King Darius. Wow, how flattering is that? Where do I sign? Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, the mandate is in place, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper room open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and he prayed 3 times a day and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He was thrown into the den of lions and God shut their mouth. We never, ever stop praying and speaking or assembling before our God. Let me give you a couple other words. Mark, they're down there. We always obey Him and worship Him as He's told us to do. Always, 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 always. There is no authority but God. We always obey and worship our God as He told us to do. We always assemble. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And the only reason I'm really fresh on Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 is because our ladies' Bible study is just getting ready to start into Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. 12, they're going to do Hebrews, I guess, right? Going to do the whole book of Hebrews. Woo! You guys are ambitious. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Be a good citizen. Not, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, to assemble, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Would anybody agree to me that I don't have no idea when Jesus is coming back, but I do believe the day is drawing nearer? Anybody? So we are to assemble and encourage all the more as we see this happening. Not neglect it, but assemble and encourage and hold fast your confession of your faith all the more. Oh, it makes so much sense that the enemy would want us apart, doesn't it? It makes so much sense. He wants us each cowering in our homes, apart from each other. But that's not what God says. God says, if you see the day nearing, you need to assemble all the more. You need to encourage each other all the more. You need to speak boldly. You need to hold fast your confession. And I didn't know this. I just found this out this week. In chapter 10, verse 36, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. You have need of endurance. Did you see why they're enduring right before that? Recall the former days when after you enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. You had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property since you knew that you had a better possession and an abiding one there. They were being imprisoned for their faith. They were being mistreated and suffering, and their property was stolen and destroyed for their faith. For their confession of their faith. Therefore, he says, don't throw away your confidence. And do you know what I just learned this week? That when I looked up the word confidence, it primarily has to do with confidently speaking about your faith. And almost every segment, every little fraction, part of that definition, it is to speak confidently, speak boldly, speak openly, speak out. You have a need to just continue, even though you're suffering and the authorities are imprisoning you, taking your property, keep speaking, hold fast the confession of your faith. Speak boldly your faith. Same thing Peter prayed for. In Acts chapter 4. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you receive what is promised. Verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back. That comes from the word apostasy. The word apostasy comes from that. These people are actually turning back away from their faith. They were actually turning from what God has said about their faith and about obeying and worshiping and speaking and assembling. They were actually shrinking back. Turning from their faith. We're not of those. We're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Because you really don't have faith. But of those who have faith and preserve your soul. Your faith will carry you through. You will endure. You will obey. You will worship. You will pray. You will speak. And you will assemble. Even enduring great suffering. For proof, I'm not going to go there, but for proof, he gives Hebrews chapter 11. The great faith chapter. All the suffering that happened in the name of God. He goes right through Abraham. There's Moses. We talked about him a minute ago. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they weren't afraid of the king's edict as wrong. It was wrong in the sight of God. By faith, when he grew up, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he turned his back and walked away from the Egyptian people and their government. By faith, he left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Others suffered mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom this world is not worthy. Of whom this world is not worthy. Why? Because there is no authority except from God. And he has put every authority of any government, of any place, in place to carry out his good for the people and incur his wrath when they cross God's authority. And we do not bend over and throw out, shrink back from God and his word for government's word. God is our Lord and Savior. God's word is our authority. They are servants of his. And we will be good citizens. We will do good. We do not break the law. As long as the law agrees with God's word, we do not break it. We don't break into White Houses. We don't hurt people. We don't destroy property. We do good things. We help. I will pray if President Biden, Lord willing, if that happens Wednesday, I will pray for him and I will do good for this country, for our citizenry. I will pray. I will speak and teach the Word of God and we will assemble. Because God says to assemble, and he has passed that authority on down to here, through here, and right on down. And we will be Daniels and Moses. And we may suffer for doing good. But we will do God's word. We will do good. So, how does this work when God institutes, and I'm not saying this about America, I'm saying about this at all. How does this work when God institutes an evil government? That's the question you should have. Governments are not a terror to good conduct. That's what Romans said, and yet we see governments have been a terror to good conduct. We see governments have imprisoned and jailed and killed Christians. They have been a terror. How does that work? God uses them. God uses them. Evil governments. Well, Habakkuk chapter 1, one of my favorite books, funnest favorite books. Habakkuk chapter 1. Here's Habakkuk's prayer. His heart is crying out to God. Chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you won't hear me? I cry to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly just sit there and look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Whew. And he's talking about Jewish government. He's talking about Israel. Here's God's answer. Look among the nations and see wonder and be astounded. For I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. Behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. Woo! That bitter and hasty nation who marched through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They're dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like eagles, swift to devour. They all come for violence. All their faces forward, they gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress. They pile up earth and take it. They sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men, whose might is their God. Habakkuk says, what? Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you've ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. What an insightful prophet, inspired by God to say, you're not here to wipe us out. You're using those evening wolves for your judgment and for reproof. He knew God uses even the most vile of governments against his people, the Jewish people. He raises them up to perform his judgment. And this is what he'll do to them. Isaiah chapter 33. Ah, you destroyer, who yourself have not been destroyed. You traitor, whom none has betrayed. When you have ceased to destroy, you will be destroyed. And when you have finished betraying, they will betray you. And what God says through and through in the prophets, he says, yes, I'm raising them up as a judgment. And when their work is done, I will judge them. I will take care of them. So God uses tyrant, wicked, evil governments far, far worse than anything we see in our country. Raised up Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius. And he says, submit. Don't resist their authority. I'm more powerful. I'm doing something big. You don't know. You don't understand it. You just walk with me. You just do good conduct in my name. Be a good citizen. I'm in control. I'm in control. That's our position. Number one, above all things, obey, obey, obey the Word of God. If you're not sure what it says, get in it. But I can tell you this, these three things, pray, speak, and teach, and assemble, are non-negotiable by the Word of God. Non-negotiable. To this day, we see nations where it is illegal to have a real church. They're meeting They go out in the woods, they find a barn, and they have house churches or barn churches or woods churches. But they know they have to assemble. They have to assemble. And as for us in our country right now, God has instituted a constitution that is still being upheld that says, yes, you have the freedom to assemble in your country. In that same amendment is freedom of speech, and certainly freedom to pray. But we will be good citizens, right? We will do good. Not just don't break the law. Do good. It's a tough assignment. It's a tough assignment. There's so much going on today in our country. And there's more to come, I'm sure. So, I'll give you, I think, one example, and I'll close. So, you and I are pretty much appalled by some of the platforms, some of the policies of the incoming administration. And we know that anybody thinking clearly would look at the policies and the platform of one side and the policies and the platform of the other side. Nobody in their right mind would vote for some of that, what's coming in, right? Unlimited abortion through 9 months. If the baby survives the abortion, it's laying there on the table. You don't got to care for it. Just let it lay there and suffer till it dies. That's one of the policies being propagated by the new administration, right? Going to do away with the Hyde Amendment, which pretty much means your tax money will pay for those abortions. But here's the deal. So they pass that legislation. So they murder tens of thousands more babies and you pay for them now. You can't help that because you got to pay your taxes. But here's the deal. We're appalled with that. We pray for that. And we have a lady who, it's her mission. It's her mission to promote and support those ladies to have life, to give birth. I mean, this is something deep in our hearts. But here's the deal. You don't have to have an abortion. They're not mandating anybody here has an abortion. So me, as a citizen, I hate that. I can't stand the thought of murdering babies. That's the sin of Moloch in the Bible. Putting babies in the fire and murdering kids. But they haven't mandated that I have to do that. If you live in China, you do, right? In China, you get 1.7 kids or whatever it is, and then you have to abort, terminate that pregnancy. You have to be medically fixed or whatever. And if our nation ever gets to that point, then we're going to have to stand up. We've got a problem. Because that goes against God's word. But look at some of these heinous platforms and policies about to take effect in our country. And no, you don't have to do that. As a believer, I don't have to have an abortion. So praise God for that. We still have the freedom to say, well, they'll pay. God will deal with them later. But He's instituted them now for some reason. He's anointed them, appointed them now, whether it be judgment on our nation. We don't know. That's God's business. That's way over my pay grade. I don't know. But I'm going to submit to their authority. I'm going to be a good citizen. I'm going to do good for my community and my fellow man. And I'm never going to break into the White House or any other government building, destroy property or people's lives. Because my authority is God. And just like David wouldn't hurt King Saul in the cave of Machpelah, when David was hiding in that cave and Saul came in to relieve himself in the dark and his guy said, "Now cut his throat, he'll never know what hit him." And David said, "That's God's anointed. I can't." That's where we got to fall. That's where we've got to fall. So think carefully. Think carefully about everything and every word you utter. Think through it. And if you need help thinking through, dicing this baby up, don't believe everything you hear. Go to the Word of God. Don't believe every person you really like on TV. "I really like that person. I think I can trust them." You don't know them. Read the Word of God. There is no authority. There is no authority but from God. And at the end of the day, we serve Him. Government is supposed to be serving Him for our good. And they will answer to Him. Not us. Not us. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word. It is accurate. It is truthful. It is holy. It is just. Because it comes from You. Help us now to have insight. Have spiritual insight. Give us the Holy Spirit. In such a measure we speak and pray and assemble boldly and encourage one another to good works, to be good citizens in Your name. Amen.